Good afternoon, 4:30 and 56 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Ashley Chapman.
Our attorney general ran under the expectation that he would do the job he was hired to do. He's not doing it.
Governor Bevin takes to Facebook today to blast Attorney General Andy Beshear for not defending two anti-abortion bills passed by the Kentucky General Assembly.
Kentucky State Police are looking for an Ashland man accused of raping a child.
And 16 people have been arrested on charges they tried to smuggle drugs into the Carter County Jail.
In sports, the Moorhead State women's basketball team is home for Tennessee Tech this evening.
But Luke has the stocks.
More rain tonight with lows in the mid-30s. The complete forecast after this news.
Kentucky State Police are seeking the public's help in locating an Ashland man accused of raping a child. The KSP's Ashland Post says 53-year-old James Garten is also sought on charges of sodomy and endangering the welfare of a minor. Trooper Michael Muriel says Garten has been under investigation for nearly 2 weeks. He says Garten is accused of engaging in sexual activity with a girl under the age of 12 for an extended period of time. The suspect's last known address was on Ponderosa Court in Ashland, but he's reportedly been seen in the Clifford and Yellow Creek areas of Lawrence County. Anyone with information about Garten is asked to call the KSP.
Carter jailer R.W. Boggs credits the collaborative effort between his employees and agents from the Fiveco Area Drug Enforcement Task Force for the recent arrests of 16 people involved in a ring that was allegedly attempting to bring drugs into his facility. Boggs says the investigation started months ago after some of his deputies caught a couple of would-be smugglers.
We were intercepting, you know, these drugs, and you would have thought that the couple individuals would have thought, well, you know, the gig is up, you know. But they just doubled down on our efforts, which, you know, allowed us to eventually tie, you know, all these what we thought were separate situations, you know, together, and that's why you had the organized crime.
At that point, Boggs says he called in Fade to help win the probe. He stresses that none of the drugs made it into the Carter jail. With 200 inmates in the facility, Boggs notes that it's a constant battle to keep drugs out of CCDC. More arrests in the case could be made.
Governor Matt Bevin has taken to Facebook to chastise Attorney General Andy Beshear for not defending what the governor says are two pro-life bills passed by the Kentucky General Assembly this month. The Republican governor says the Democrats' refusal to defend the ban on abortion after 20 weeks and the required ultrasound prior to terminating a pregnancy fly in the face of Kentucky values.
That is absolutely unconscionable. It's dishonorable to run for a position as the attorney general, as the chief law enforcer for the state, and then not do your job.
Attorney General Beshear responded to the Facebook video this afternoon, saying that the governor's claims are false and show he doesn't understand or respect the Constitution. The Democrat says if Bevin has questions about the work the AG's office does, he should walk across the hallway and discuss them and not hide behind Facebook.
Kentucky's senior senator believes President Trump is justified in being concerned about voter fraud. Republican Mitch McConnell responded to the issue at a press conference in Washington Tuesday. Trump continues to claim he would have won the popular vote in last fall's election if millions of people had not cast illegal ballots. McConnell says that there are Kentuckians in prison now for doing just that.
There are always arguments on both sides about how much, how frequent, and all the rest. But most states have done a better job. Most states have done a better job on this front. But the notion that election fraud is a fiction is not true.
McConnell spoke to reporters at his weekly briefing on the Senate Republican agenda.
Kentucky Senate Education Committee Chairman Mike Wilson has introduced legislation to abolish the state's Common Core standards in education. The Warren County Republican says the proposal is part of a larger reform bill for K through 12 schools. Wilson talked about the measure on KET's Kentucky Tonight.
It returns control of our education system back to the states and back to our local districts, which is incredible. It repeals the Common Core, allows states to take control of their own standards again. And that's part of what Senate Bill 1 does. It allows us to take control of our standards and put in a review process. They'll take place every 6 years on our standards.
Wilson says the bill would permit local school districts and site-based councils to determine their own set of educational standards, testing, and assessment.
Ohio Governor John Kasich says he'll seek a 1% increase in funding for primary and secondary education in the state's next two-year budget. The Republican says that's the best he can do right now because the spending plan will be tight. However, he's quick to add if revenues begin exceeding expectations, there could be more money later.
And we're going to have a second biennium, we call it mid-biennium review. And if we get more revenue, then, you know, education will obviously be one of our priorities. It's frankly always our top priority in the state.
Kasich says his administration has spent a record amount on K-12 education in the last 6 years, $1.5 billion.
The Raceland-Worthington School District is likely to have a new school in 2018, MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
According to the Daily Independent, the Raceland-Worthington District hopes to break ground on a new middle school in April or May. Superintendent Larry Coldiron says it will bring the district one step closer to housing all its students together on one integrated campus. It will replace Worthington Elementary, which is one of the oldest public school buildings in the state. District administrators have met with state officials to get approval for schematic designs and will meet again this week for additional design work. The school's price tag is estimated at $19 million, with the state covering more than $14 million of the cost. Coldiron says the construction should take about 18 months. Reporting from Ord State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
Morehead State University isn't the only school in the Commonwealth searching for a new president. Western Kentucky University is poised to possibly make a final decision on their next president this Friday. Bob Skipper is the WKU Media Relations Director, and he says Dr. Tim Caboni from the University of Kansas is the preferred candidate.
He is a WKU graduate earning a master's degree in corporate and organizational communications, also has a bachelor's degree from Louisiana State, as well as a doctorate from Vanderbilt.
If chosen, Caboni would become the 10th president of WKU.
There is still no indication from AK Steel on when or if the Ashland blast furnace will be restarted. Company President Kirk Reich took questions about the idled mill during a conference call Tuesday.
We are going to look at it on a sustained profitability kind of metric, and we need to see a sustained change in the business conditions. And so, yeah, it's volumes, it's import levels, it's the supply and demand ratios, it's the cost of our inputs, our raw materials, it's the pricing environment, it's all of that kind of packaged together.
Reich does say that AK will continue spending about $2 million a month to maintain the Ashland blast furnace. It was shut down in December 2015 owing to depressed market conditions. The move resulted in the layoff of more than 600 steel workers.
Rowan County Judge Executive Walter Blevins is about to renew his push for a countywide ordinance. Blevins hopes there's now more public support for a zoning measure in light of Kinder Morgan's controversial plan to run a part of a multi-county liquid natural gas pipeline through Rowan.
So we can hopefully maybe slow this down, or at least maybe make it go away. We think it's a bad thing for our community. It doesn't really bring any large benefit to the general citizenry here. And I'm going to try to have a committee set up hopefully by the end of the month and try to start holding some meetings and just letting people know what we're trying to do, finding out how strongly they are for it or strongly they are against it.
As part of Kinder Morgan's proposal, the company wants to send liquid gas through a 70-year-old section of pipeline that was once used by Tennessee Gas. Liquid natural gas and its fumes are highly volatile and considered much more dangerous than regular natural gas.
Mayor Jim Tom Trent believes Morehead can hire a replacement for departing city planner Joe Parson by March the 1st. Parson is leaving the city next week to become an inspector for the Kentucky Housing Corporation. In addition to handling building inspections and code enforcement for the town, Parson also has been its alcoholic beverage control officer. At this point, Trent says it's not certain if his replacement will also do that job, but adds someone in Moorhead's administrative office will.
We feel pretty confident right now with our staff that it will remain in place when Joe leaves. For example, Sherry Watson, who's his assistant, Sherry assists him with ABC as it is. And we also have other folks here in our administrative office that handle the paperwork. So we're pretty sure that will go on without a hitch.
Trent says an inspector from the State Department of Housing, Buildings, and Construction will oversee projects in Moorhead until Parsons' replacement is hired.
Just because someone is in favor of cutting federal spending and reforming the budget process does not mean that person supports shutting down the government or denying services to the elderly. That's a point Kentucky's junior senator made at a confirmation hearing Tuesday for President Trump's nominee for White House Budget Director. Republican Rand Paul was among those who questioned Mick Mulvaney at a hearing of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee.
Really, the debate shouldn't be, oh, these people don't care about the elderly. We all have parents. We all have grandparents. We all care about the elderly. It's about how we fix it. But I think what's really inexcusable are those who berate one side and say, oh, you don't care, when in reality, I think doing nothing shows a lack of caring.
Paul says reforming the budget process is critical to better control federal spending. The senator contends deficit spending is a threat to national security.
Lexington Mayor Jim Gray says his city will be aggressive in going after federal funds if Congress and President Trump can agree on an infrastructure bill. Gray raised the issue Tuesday during his State of the City speech.
The Scott Street Connector, the final phase of the Newtown extension, currently isn't funded. But as the new administration in Washington considers funding for infrastructure, Kentucky is in a unique position to tap into those funds. We will be working to attract federal support for this and other proposals.
When people see construction work taking place in a city, says Gray, they recognize that as a sign of progress. Senator Mitch McConnell's wife, Elaine Chao, is President Trump's choice to be the nation's next Secretary of Transportation.
The Kentucky Bourbon Trail has seen a significant increase in its visitor numbers. Paul Miles reports.
The Kentucky Bourbon Trail hosted more than 1 million visits in 2016. The Bourbon Trail showcases 9 of the state's major distilleries, including Four Roses, Heaven Hill, and Maker's Mark. There are also 11 micro distilleries on the trail. The Kentucky Distillers Association says the Bourbon Trail has grown 300% in the last decade. I'm Paul Miles.
Taking a look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Carter, Bath, and Rouen. Tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered showers in the evening, a chance of rain at 50% with lows dipping into the mid-30s. Thursday will be cooler and cloudy, a chance of rain or snow showers at 30% with highs only reaching into the upper 30s. Thursday night, cloudy, a 20% chance of rain or snow with lows in the upper 20s. Friday, cloudy with a chance of rain or snow at 20% and highs in the mid-30s. Saturday, partly sunny with highs in the upper 30s. And Sunday, cloudy with a 60% chance of snow showers and highs in the mid-30s. Taking a look at the temperatures around the region, it's currently 62 degrees in Ashland, 54 in Flemingsburg, 64 in Inez, 55 in Lexington. Winchester is sitting at 54 degrees, and it is currently 56 degrees right here on the campus of Moorhead State University.
It's 4:44, and you are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio, and there's not a soul we would rather spend a Wednesday afternoon with than you. On our feature segment this afternoon, clean water advocates and coal mining promoters are going head-to-head in Frankfort over the Stream Protection Act. Greg Stottlemyre has the story.
A coalition of community and conservation groups is fighting back against attempts by state officials in Kentucky and 13 other coal-producing states to stop enforcement of the Stream Protection Rule, which was finalized last month by the Interior Department. The states went to the United States District Court in D.C. to block enforcement. Kentucky's Energy and Environment Secretary, Charles Snavely, claims the Stream Protection Rule is not environmentally needed. conflicts with existing protections, and would do great harm to the coal industry. Tom Kay with Appalachian Voices, one of the groups seeking to intervene in the case, disagrees.
I think it's absurd to say that there's no need for more protections from surface mining pollution. And Kentucky is actually one of the best examples for the water pollution that we've seen from surface mining over the years. The protections are completely inadequate, and the enforcement is equally inadequate.
The rule is intended to protect clean water and other natural resources through stronger regulations on surface mining. According to Appalachian Voices, mountaintop removal mining has been responsible for destroying an estimated 2,000 miles of streams in Appalachia and is linked to a variety of health problems. Letcher County resident Terrence Ray is one of the volunteers who collects water quality data on rivers and streams for the state's Water Watch program. He says he still sees pollution from strip mines.
Last week I was at a stream that was completely orange. You couldn't see the bottom of the stream. It was like a lot of iron oxide and stuff. And this was right at a spot where it was flowing into the North Fork of the Kentucky River.
The stream protection rule expands baseline data requirements during the permitting process for a new mining operation, and it also strengthens monitoring during mining and reclamation. While the state has characterized the new regulation as unreasonable and unjustifiable restrictions, Ray believes otherwise.
I think that's a very reasonable price to pay to make sure that we're sort of covering all of our bases and that people are staying safe and healthy.
I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
447, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming your way at 5 o'clock this afternoon, and Braxton has sports right after we take this time out.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery, exquisite art treasures in historic downtown Maysville, Kentucky. Eat Gallery works with gold and silversmiths who specialize in creating wearable art jewelry. For the jewelry you no longer wear or heirlooms that need updating, Eat Gallery can create wearable pieces that will last generations. Open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. Eat Gallery can be reached at 606-564-5578 and online at eatgallery.com.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Morehead State women's basketball team has an OVC game at Johnson Arena tonight. At 5-2 in league action, Coach Greg Todd's Eagles will play host to Tennessee Tech.
They're playing extremely well. They're playing good defense, playing well. Will be a tough matchup.
Led by Yactavia Hickson's average of 17 points a game, Tech's women are 4-3 in the OVC. The Golden Eagles have an overall record of 7-13. The Morehead State men's basketball team will look to stay red hot when they visit Tennessee Tech for an OVC game Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Senior Xavier Moon and the Eagles will enter the contest having won 3 straight and 7 of their last 10 games.
I feel like we're playing great right now. Week by week, we just got to make sure we keep getting better and keep trusting in each other and keep trusting in Preston, and we'll keep winning.
Scoring an average of over 82 points a game, MSU's offense tops the OVC. Tech is 4-3 in conference, 8-14 overall. Meanwhile, as the Eagles play on, Morehead State Athletic Director Brian Hutchinson says the search for a permanent replacement for former head coach Sean Woods continues. Hutchinson says the job was posted about a week ago, and several persons have already expressed interest in becoming MSU's next full-time bench boss.
My role is to, along with that of our group that's helping with the search, is to figure out as much as we can about potential candidates, and then once the season's over, be in a position to move as quickly as we can to fill it on a permanent basis.
Hutchinson stresses MSU is committed to allowing Preston Spradlin to finish the season as the Eagles' interim coach. After picking up a 106-51 win over Pittsburgh last night, the Louisville basketball team has suffered another setback. Guard Tony Hicks suffered a broken hand in last night's win, according to U of L, and will miss between 4 to 6 weeks of play. The Cards are still without starting guard Quentin Snyder, who is out with a hip injury. Louisville is back in action on Sunday when they play host to North Carolina State. After Kentucky's 82-80 upset loss at Tennessee last night, Coach John Calipari said his freshman-laden Wildcats still have a lot of growing up to do. Cal noted the fourth-ranked Cats, who shot less than 42% from the field, were completely outplayed by the Vols. He added his young guys are still playing too selfishly.
Doing what's right for the team sometimes may not be right for you, but that's how you win. You do what's right for the team, not necessarily what's right for you as an individual player. And I'm not getting through to some guys. And I told him after, you'll continue to lose. I've done this 30 years. You cannot do the stuff that they're doing and win basketball games.
Things don't get any easier for Calipari's 17-3 Cats, who step away from the SEC Saturday to host second-ranked Kansas at Rupp Arena. Speaking of Rupp Arena, it will also play host to veteran sports broadcaster Brent Musburger's last game. AP correspondent Warren Levinson has more.
Brent Musburger says the Georgia-Kentucky game at Rupp Arena in Lexington January 31st will be the last of his long play-by-play career. Musburger, who's 77, has been calling games on ESPN. He was the folksy voice of CBS Sports through the 1980s. He says he's moving to Las Vegas to help his family start a sports handicapping business. Both Musburger and ESPN deny that his sudden retirement has anything to do with his call of this month's Sugar Bowl. Musburger was roundly criticized for the praise he gave an Oklahoma running back second chance after punching a woman in the face in 2014. Warren Levinson, New York.
The West Carter Lady Comets have advanced to the second round of the All-A Classic tournament after defeating Owensboro Catholic 58-55 earlier today. Now at 13-6 on the year, West Carter will face Trimble County Friday at 10 a.m. in the quarterfinals. Trimble County is 14-3 this season. 15-1 Elliott County will represent the 16th region on the boys' side of things when they square off with Paris tomorrow at 6:30. Paris is 14-6 this season. It looks like you won't have to wait long to find out who Round County's next football coach will be. Principal Ray Ginther says officials will move at a light speed to replace Gene Peterson, who quit the job just this week.
It's going to be like, don't close your eyes. We want to find somebody and get them started. We don't want the kids to miss a beat. And, you know, the kids have to be number one in a situation like this. So if we can find somebody that's quality, and, you know, maybe even the first next week.
Peterson resigned from the Vikings football post after just one season and a 2-9 record. Peterson took over the Vikings program last spring after two-year coach Ray Graham was let go under a cloud of controversy. With the start of baseball season set to begin 3 weeks from Friday, the Morehead State baseball team is in full preseason mode. Coming off of back-to-back 31 seasons, head coach Mike McGuire says his program can still improve.
We're very excited from where we're at as a program compared to where we were when I got here. Our last 3 years are the three winningest three-year span in the history of the program, and we're very proud of that. At the same time, we're not satisfied. Our goal is every year to be in a regional, and you know, anything short of that, you know, we're disappointed in. So I'm very proud of where we're at, but we still got a lot of work to do.
The Baseball Eagles get things started on February the 17th against Jacksonville University. Finally, in sports, one of the favorites move into the semifinals at the Australian Open, where she's joined by a surprise opponent. Correspondent Graham Agars reports.
Serena Williams has moved into her eighth Australian Open semi-final after a 6-2, 6-3 win over Britain's Jo Konta. Williams next faces 34-year-old Mirjana Lucic-Baroni, whose only other Grand Slam Final Four appearance came at Wimbledon in 1999 before her career went off track and she finished up dropping out of the game. She kept her Aussie fairy tale run going, though, by beating the fifth seed, Karolina Pliskova. A resurgent Rafael Nadal beat the third seed, Milos Raonic, to reach a men's semi-final showdown with the 15th seed, Grigor Dimitrov. Graham Agars, Melbourne.
That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Women's basketball will host Tennessee Tech tonight and Murray State on Wednesday, February 1st. Both games are scheduled at 6 o'clock p.m. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. The Dow Jones Industrial Average climbed past 20,000 for the first time, as stocks around the world extended a rally after corporate earnings reignited investors' optimism in economic growth. Bonds sold off along with oil. And at the close, the Dow Industrials finished with a gain of 155.8 at 20,068.51, of course, an all-time record closing high. The S&P 500 was up 18.3 as it closed at a record closing high of 2,298.37. And the NASDAQ Composite was certainly not left out in the cold as it notched a gain of 55.38, closing at a record 5,656.34. The index for American blue chips, the Dow Industrials, took the round number milestone after a handful of rallies fell short in the past month. This was the second fastest 1,000-point trip in its history, as, of course, the Dow average hit 19,000 for the first time in the late fall. European equities jumped the most since November 9th, swept up in trades favoring banks and cyclical companies. The yield on 10-year Treasury notes topped 2.5%. The Mexican peso slumped after Donald Trump said he plans to unveil actions that include steps toward building a border wall. And oil did fall on increased U.S. stockpiles that were reported today. The stock surge comes as President Trump moves to fulfill pro-growth campaign promises, including identifying possible infrastructure projects, also approval of two oil pipelines, and cajoling of American carmakers to build plants in the U.S. Among Dow stocks today, Boeing was in the news as it was up over 4% on a strong earnings report. In the broader market, Rockwell Automation had a strong earnings report, and it was up over 7%. Textron, on the other hand, was down 5% as they reported somewhat disappointing earnings and made a somewhat disappointing outlook for 2017. Also, it was announced Textron is acquiring Arctic Cat, which makes snowmobiles, and Arctic Cat stock was up over 40% in trading today. Among Dow industrial stocks in terms of the best performance, Boeing and Caterpillar were your two best performers. Procter & Gamble and Walmart were the two worst. In the S&P 500, Seagate Technology and Rockwell Automation were the two best performers, while Textron and CA Incorporated were the two worst. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up $2.69 at $116.5, CSX up $1.10 at $47.78, AEP down $0.25 at $62.53, AK Steel down $0.43 at $8.26, Marathon Petroleum down $0.38 at $49.71, and U.S. Bancorp is up $0.69 to finish at $52.46. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyon.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Moorhead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday, catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
Take one more look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the cities of Ashland, Grayson, and Moorhead. Tonight, mostly cloudy, scattered showers throughout the evening, chance of rain at 50% with lows in the mid-30s. Thursday, cooler and cloudy with a 30% chance of either snow or rain showers, highs in the upper 30s. Thursday night, cloudy with a 20% chance of snow or rain showers, lows dipping into the upper 20s. Friday will be cloudy with a 20% chance of snow or rain throughout the afternoon, highs in the mid-30s. Saturday, partly sunny with highs in the upper 30s. And Sunday will be cloudy with a 60% chance of snow showers likely and highs only reaching in to about the mid-30s. One last look at temperatures around the region. It's currently 62 degrees in Ashland. Flemingsburg is sitting at 54 degrees, 64 degrees in Inez, 55 in Lexington. Winchester is at 54 degrees, and it is currently 56 degrees right here on the campus of Moorhead State University.
And that does it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Moraz, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Jacob Lindberg, Kenzie Thompson, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Tilden Johnson, and Victoria Agee. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyre, and from the Kentucky News Network, Paul Miles. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ashley Chapman and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.